All right, welcome everyone. We'll start with the annual general meeting of the CEC, which is usually a relatively short affair. And hopefully we have a little bit of time for any closing discussion and thoughts about the symposium. And of course, in both cases, there's ample possibility to continue this discussion elsewhere electronically. So I'm not sure how much people were able to look at the agenda and the minutes of this meeting ahead of time. Unfortunately, we don't have things printed off. Things are on the web. I'll also display them here, all the relevant documents. And for anyone who wants to, doesn't have web access in this room, but wants to look at it, I have all the documents also on these USB keys. Would anyone like them? Ready? Good catch. Anyone else? No. So the first order of business is the adoption of the agenda. We have a seven-item agenda consisting of the adoption of the agenda, the adoption of the minutes of the previous annual general meeting, business arising from the minutes of the previous annual general meeting, the president's report from me, reports from the board, which will consist of Eldad Sabari's financial report, and any other business. There's already an item under any other business, which is introducing some proposed changes to the CEC bylaws that will, we'll say, modernize the possibilities for an advisory council. And finally, an adjournment. I wonder if I can have a motion for an adoption of the agenda. And one thing I just want to remind you at this point is that the CEC's bylaws only allow full members of the CEC, that is people who pay the slightly larger associate member fee to actually vote. But of course, everyone is a valuable member of the community. So can I have a motion for the adoption of the agenda? Arnie, thanks. Seconded by Kevin. All in favor?
We're just gonna count on the number of members voting.
Sure, who here thinks you're a voting member? So I'll do this around the room. We have myself, we have Bentley Jarvis, we have Arnie Eigenfeld, we have Emily LaBelle, Bruno DeGazio, Stephen Naylor, David Berezan, Jean-François Denis, Richard Henninger, and Kevin Austin. Okay, thank you.
Because Jeff Chibwa is taking the minutes for this right now.
That's right, in Berlin. This is the world we live in. Yeah. Well, it's being recorded also. Everything's being recorded, of course.
I assume we have quorum.
We do, yes.
Yes,
yeah.
In the bylaw it says those who are present.
Yes, we have quorum. Okay, so I think the agenda, we can consider that adopted. Of course, if anyone thinks of any other business to add under the other business item, we can certainly do that. Okay, the minutes of the previous annual general meeting. Maybe I'll just quickly display those. So this was held last December in Montreal. Myself, CEC Treasurer Eldad Sabari, and CEC Co-Administrator Yves Gigon, as well as CEC Member Mark Corwin, were present. So if I can take the liberty of inserting a comment here, what we're doing, having the annual general meeting here at the Toronto Electroacoustics Symposium and encouraging somewhat wider presence at the annual general meeting is thus a bit of an innovation. We adopted the agenda. We accepted the minutes. There was no business arising from the minutes. I gave a report summarizing our activities. Yves discussed the budget. There was no other business, and we adjourned the meeting. Can I have a motion to accept the minutes? And of course, has to have been present, which would mean, is that me? Okay, normally I wouldn't do this, okay, so I have to. So yeah, I move that I accept the minutes. And yes, sir. So I think that passes by consensus. And we'll go back to the agenda. Business arising from the minutes of the previous annual general meeting, such as questions or discussion.
I think the question of the small deficit is answered in the treasurer's.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Okay, with that, I'll go on to the president's report. And I apologize that I'm just going to read to you the prepared text. And the reason for this is obviously that there has to be an official prepared text, given that the CEC's membership are distributed over a very large country, and many of them can't be here. So at the Canadian Electroacoustic Community, 2010 to 11 has been characterized by the maintenance and incremental growth of our core projects, as well as preparations for the celebration of the community's 25th anniversary in the form of a cross-country concert tour, a concert and seminar tour tied to the annual JTTP competition, but more about that later. I will begin by presenting the state of the organization's governance and of our core projects. So first, the CEC Board, 2011 to 12. The board of the CEC meets on a continuous basis via an email discussion list. It is a pleasure to serve on the board, as discussion and deliberation there is characteristically collegial, efficient, and wide-ranging. I think the CEC has been particularly well served by the fact that the evolution of the personnel serving on this board has been slow and steady. This year, the board is bidding a farewell, of sorts, to outgoing member Catherine Norman, and also welcoming incoming member Carrie Dodge, who many here will know, from Vancouver. Please thank them both for your service when you get the chance. So the CEC's board of directors for the coming year will be as follows. Myself from Toronto and Hamilton on a term that ends in 2013. Vice President Laurie Radford continues. He's based in Calgary with a term that ends in 2012. Secretary Jean Routier from Vancouver with a term ending in 2013. Treasurer Eldad Sabari in Montreal with a term ending in 2012. And we have two members at large on the serving on the board, Sean Pinchbeck from Edmonton, and now, of course, Carrie Dodge from Vancouver. Moving on to discussion of the JTTP 2011 competition. The Jeux de Temps Times Play competition is one of the most important CEC projects on account of its close relation to our mandate to support young and emerging artists. Congratulations to all who participated in JTTP this year. And a special congratulations to those whose works were selected as the highest ranking. Jury members' comments indicated that the submissions, 37 in total, were very strong this year. The board determined, on the basis of the rankings prepared by the jury, that it was both possible and advisable to award a tie for first place in the competition, as well as all of the second, third, fourth, and fifth place prizes. A special thanks to the many individuals and organizations that donate prize money and items to the competition. There will be an official launch of this year's completed JTTP project in eContact 14.1 coming out in September, and we will hold a live broadcast of the launch, as usual, with Elliot Handelman on Montreal's CKUT. The highest ranking works for 2011 were a tie for first place between Maxime Corbeil-Perron for her work Fragments. And the other first place work was Marc-André Perron's Effervescence Somnolescence. Second place prize went to David Arango Valencia for his Canción de Otra Parte, Chanson d'ailleurs. Third place went to Julian Hoff for his work Scratch. Fourth place to Guillaume Barret for Parasite. And fifth place to Guillaume Campion for Neige Cendre. So how about a round of applause for this year's JTTP winners. Now, if JTTP is the CEC project most directed to the new, eContact is the complementary project that preserves our shared histories, connecting new and old alike with wider and deeper resources. eContact is finishing up a fantastic year this year with a large issue, that's 13.2, on piano and live electroacoustics, with a guest editor for that being German pianist Sebastian Berweck. Performance Issues and Paradigms of Electroacoustic Practice through TES 2010 papers and complementary articles were featured in issue 13.3, and we also had the first single publication dedicated to the work of electronic instrument and equipment pioneer Harald Bode, that's 13.4 with guest editor Rebecca Pavlov, who works at the Harald.
Minor deficits the previous year, and it's the same. And you can read this, so the exact numbers are here. Is the audited?
Yes.
Is on here? Do you know where it is?
In
the other documents. Can you find that? That's the important.
Yeah.
as you will see from the documents, we're not talking about $100,000 budget here. The figures are in the $4,000 to $10,000 to $15,000 to $20,000 range. So it's, you can see there's $30,000 in where we are. So that's the kind of range that the CEC operates within. And it's an audited report.
This one, please.
It's an audited report, and every year Eve sends this to an accountant who just checks the books and says, yes, the books represent what has actually happened as far as accepted accounting practice is concerned. And that's where it is. The CEC is a not-for-profit organization, but is not charitable. That was set up that way many years ago to avoid certain difficulties which arise for organizations when they have charitable status with regards to carrying over capital or carrying over funding from year to year. They have to normally disperse 80 to 85% of the money they have in the account during the fiscal year. And the CEC was looking at ways of holding onto larger amounts than that. And by not being charitable, it avoids that problem. There's such a small amount of work involved in this. In this way, if it were to become charitable, the amount of work involved in doing the financial report would, I think, triple or quadruple, because it goes through so many other channels. And some people have asked over the years to become charitable. The cost far, far outweighs any benefits that would accrue from this. These are the numbers. I would ask for adoption of this, if there's any adoption of the report as such. We just need acclaimed, approved by consensus. Any questions, or Jean-François? No, back. The other document, the actual balance sheet.
So we have revenue and income.
We have
assets and liabilities.
Just go back to revenue income.
Yeah.
That's the. Alors ici on peut voir les revenus et les dépenses. C'est environ. Nous avons gagné $2 cette année. Nous avons un surplus de $2. One coffee to be shared by everyone. Oh, $42.
No,
$100. Oh, good. Oh, yeah. We'll go to Cuba and have a cup of coffee together. You can see the previous years are very similar over the past 15, 20 years. Thank you. Other question? Monsieur Denis?
Was it moved to adopt already?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, there's a discussion. You move and then you have discussion. Discussion. Are there any, is there further discussion? Are there objections?
A comment maybe, which is just that I think it's worth underlining that I think the CEC very much punches above its financial weight, in the sense that by operating a very lean operation, we don't have a permanent office. Much of our business is conducted online in an extremely efficient way that makes, I think, relatively up-to-date use of communication technologies, and we have a long history of that. We're able to do a very lot with very little. So a special thanks, I think, to the people whose foresight set that up some time ago, and also to the two co-administrators, Jeff and Eve, for making it happen. Okay, well, that will pass by consensus. And we move on. Oops, I lost that. Give me one sec. So the next item on the agenda, to the other business. Sorry.
Can I just give a preamble to this?
Sure.
When the bylaws and the charter were written many years ago, they're written in a very conservative fashion so that changes in the future will be mediated by the process. And it just required that any changes to the bylaws had to be introduced at one general meeting and then tabled to be decided at a subsequent general meeting so that the bylaws couldn't be changed by some kind of immediate crisis that may have occurred. They would require a sense of second sight of reflection on this. And so I think this is where we are today in introducing this for the first time.
So the bylaws, in fact, the original version of the bylaws allowed for the CEC board to create an advisory panel. And what the board is now proposing is that some of the language around this be changed. That's the change to the bylaws that we're looking for the approval from the membership on. But a bit of the context is that the board also intends to really reactivate this idea of an advisory council and seek to invite people very officially from across Canada, to a certain extent internationally, and from across various representational divides to be a part of this council and to be a part of a discussion about the things that the CEC does, about the state of EA inactivity. A discussion perhaps a little bit more focused than the very wide-ranging discussions that you will all be familiar with in an organ like CEC Discuss, or now known as CEC Conference. So that's the intent of these modifications. Section 6 of the CEC bylaws concerns this council, and you see here on this page, again, all of this is up on the web and will remain up on the web for the coming year. This is the original version of the bylaws. And then on the next page, we have a changed version. We've underlined the parts that are changed. So in section 6.1, I won't read it all out to you, but just highlight that with one exception, all of our changes are very cosmetic. So the cosmetic changes are all around the name. So instead of it being called an advisory panel, we're calling it the council, or the CEC Advisory Council in English, and le comité in French, since in French the word conseil is already used for the board of directors. So those are cosmetic changes that affect various sections of Part 6. And the only substantive change, I would say, that we're introducing to the bylaws, that we're proposing, is a section on terms, because the idea is that people would be invited to be part of this advisory council. It'd be a very wide body. It would be a very wide body, like the kind of advisory bodies the CEC has sometimes maintained in the past. But in order to keep things clean, in order to encourage people to serve, and in order to encourage us to recognize their service, we're giving a defined term to service on the advisory council, a term of 2 years, which is also the term. It's also the model that has worked really well for the CEC's board of directors. These terms would be infinitely extendable, up to the lifetime of the individual, obviously. It's starting to sound a little bit like I'm selling life insurance or something like that. So we wouldn't limit someone's ability to serve and contribute in this way, but we will officially have 2-year terms that will be acknowledged on the website. Other questions or discussion about and again, just to clarify that we are not voting on these constitutional amendments today. We're simply introducing them, and the idea will be out there until the following AGM. Yeah, Jean-François.
Well, there seems to be some typos in what's printed here on 6.2 in the French. Previous to the last line, it says du conseil. It should say du comité. Not that one, but the previous one.
Yeah, you're right.
You have a similar one in English at 6.1 where you kept panel in one of the iterations?
English.
People can use mics in a second sentence.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And also in French it says comité consultatif, which is really cool, but in English it says CEC, advisory council. So I wonder what that those three first letters mean.
It means a communauté électro-constitutif.
Oh, I don't think it's needed in the bylaws of the CEC,
no.
But the council named by its name.
Yes. Yep.
Unless the official name of the council is CEC.
Well, it seems to not be because in the French it doesn't have that.
But
so
I think the French should be more quite specific. For my CV, it should say.
Yeah,
CV.
Le Comité du CEC.
Otherwise,
David?
Yes.
Could we say that the changes to the French will be corrected in an upcoming version and that they will, if the English is considered to be correct, at an upcoming meeting at which the changes are voted upon, that the French text will also need to be voted on as to its correctness in the translation, because essentially there wouldn't be a change in the actual meaning of it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And there is, as Stephen pointed out, there is a small change to the English that's necessary, the end of the second sentence.
Okay, I couldn't hear Stephen, so we can talk about that later.
Yeah. Is there further comments, discussion about this?
It needs to be moved and seconded and then tabled.
Yeah.
I move as amended.
Okay.
So I also then move.
I second.
Okay. And then I'll And then, as per the bylaws, I'll table this to future viewers. But I'm on the interwebs.
Yes, but you have to speak up if we want
okay.
to hear you.
Okay. And as per the bylaws, I will table this.
And I think you need to read their names into the microphone because they were not on microphone either.
Right. So that was moved by Jean-François Denis and seconded by Kevin Austin. Is there any other business? Yes.
David Olds, an associate member from the beginning. I'm also a member of the Canadian New Music Network, and they did some touring meetings a couple of months ago. And one of the things that came up was that although they welcome organizational memberships, the CEC is not a member of the CNMN. And I wonder if that's a conscious decision on the CEC's part. It seems to me it would be a good idea to be part of an umbrella organization like that that's lobbying nationally for many musical art forms.
I think when the CNMN was created, there was a conscious decision on the part of the CEC board to not join as an organizational member. The original scheme that Tim had proposed was quite financially punitive for organizations, and we concluded that there simply wasn't enough money. It was based on membership. Subsequently, once it finally came into being, it actually was a very reasonable organization in terms of the distinction between organizational and individual members. So I think revisiting that decision right now is a very good idea. So at the time, it made sense, but I think the ball got dropped as the CEC went on its way, having made that decision, and the CNMN manifested in somewhat of a different form than Tim had originally proposed. So I would think revisiting it is a very good idea.
I can take those suggestions to the board, of course. Is there other discussion or questions?
What's the general feeling of us here sitting in this room regarding this issue? Do we have something to say?
Use a microphone.
That's okay.
So Jean-François is asking whether what the general feeling of people here at the AGM today is in regards to the question of membership of the CEC in the Canadian New Music Network. Hey Darren, you want to get on mic?
Yeah.
That felt good.
Sorry. Well, my brain has been on other things, as you can see, but I mean, having been to some of the conferences there that they've done, that I think having CEC presence there would be valuable at their events. I found that when I spoke at the Halifax conference, I felt a little bit like a fish out of water. And it shouldn't be that way, because the electroacoustic presence there should be bigger than it was, and I think the CEC could, you know, perhaps, you know, if there's, I think it needs to be looked at, and if there's value in it, then the CEC should participate, because it's a way interfacing with the new music community is important still. I mean, but I think in the case of the CEC, there is also, you know, a connection to Media Arts and other like-minded organizations as well. So it could become a bigger question in terms of the CEC's involvement with other national organizations in both the electronic arts, media arts, and in new music.
Can I make a comment too?
Yep.
My reading of the situation when the CEC was first approached to become a member was that the specific goals and how they were going to implement the goals were absolutely unclear. A number of questions were brought up about the functioning of the association, what it was that they were going to do, and why it was they felt that they had to do that. And none of these basic questions were actually answered at the time. The CEC has not really officially refused to become a member. It also hasn't made a decision to become a member. This is a discussion that does come up in the background from time to time. But this is my reading. This is not me representing the CEC board. My one issue with the association was that they couldn't make it clear what the actual mandate was, aside from that they were speaking on behalf of artists in Canada, and that they would be acting on their behalf. And there wasn't a more complex explanation of their mandate than that. They didn't explain how they were going to do it. They didn't explain why they needed to be lobbying, what the goal of the lobbying was. And the few responses that we did get were very, very, very vague, and in my opinion, quite non-committal. And I didn't see, for me, as a CEC member, to say, a reason for the CEC to become a member of the association, so they can become a member of the club, a club which actually know what they were going to be doing.
Stephen here, Jeff. I agree with everything you've said, and that is, in fact, it was the lack of clarity and some financial concerns that caused the decision to be made to not accept the invitation to become a founding organization. But I think the question that's been raised is, since then, the CNMN has defined itself, it's become quite viable, and the CEC has kind of tried, it seems to me, I'm not putting words in people's mouths, but in practice, it looks like the CEC has tried to pretend it doesn't exist. So I think the question on the floor now is, Is the CEC prepared to change its position about that?
So the question that I've asked several times when this proposal has come up again is always concretely, practically, in terms of joint projects, what would this mean? Because of course, every member of the CEC is free to join the Canadian New Music Network. So practically, I've never understood what this, in addition to that freedom that everyone has, I've never understood in 2011 what our organization joining the CNNN would mean. And so one of the questions that I put to Tim Brady, the president of the CNNN, was could we instead consider some kind of structure where, for instance, we would have ex officio presences on board so that people could learn more about concretely what the projects, the two things were undertaking. What I was told was that the CNM didn't accept that, didn't like that, full stop, end of story. So we said, okay, well, we'll revisit this later if the CNNM board changes its position. That's what I can say based on the information I've been given about the position of the CNNN board. But as Jeff says, we've never said we are closed to this. We've never said we'll do it. We've always said, here are some ideas. Please give us some more information.
Well, I wouldn't say never. There was a very, very pointed discussion.
Say never in my time. I think that was before I had joined the CEC board. One thing I was just zooming out a little bit on this issue. One thing that it occurs to me is that in an earlier time, various kinds of exchange memberships and complicated links between different types of organizations and organizations in different national territories may have been a more significant issue, because these organizations were very much functioning as the only way that communities connected with each other and had communications about each other. But as we know now, we live in a very connected world and there's all sorts of communication. So I think that changes the way some of these issues look.
I beg to disagree.
Okay.
I beg to disagree, Jean-François Denis, for Berlin. My understanding of the CMNM is that it is trying to represent all of off-the-wall musical practices in the country for only one reason, so that when the Canada Council for the Arts is trying to get in a position from the new music community, it makes one phone call. If the CEC as an organization is the only association of creators of fucked up music that's not part of that body, then we're missing out completely. The financial, when it happened the first year, I also strongly disagreed with this, but you know, it's okay, I'm just one person, and I'm a member of the CMNM. And if it were just for financial reasons, you know, I could send a special check of $500 for the first year and make sure that the CEC is present, is there, and is represented. This is one of the reasons why the Sokan Foundation funds the CEC, is because when Sokan goes to the copyright board, goes to the government, it says we're not the only one defending creators. We have all of these other bodies in the country that do that. And by the back door, via the, maybe I shouldn't be saying this on a microphone. By the back door, via the Sokan Foundation, half of the budget of the foundation goes to supporting associations of composers. They're all duplicating each other. I could be a member of the League of Composers, the CMC, because it's like associate membership, member of this, member of, it's all, you know, lots of money every year, but it's important to be there so that we have the, whenever they are talking to other bodies, they represent also this bizarre thing called electroacoustics. We shouldn't miss out on this, I don't think. So thank you, David Oates, for bringing the issue again here, and And thank you for also sharing some of your concerns so that our board, the board that we elect every so many years, can get our feedback on this vision as of 2011. I could say the same thing in French, because the CEC is a bilingual organization, but it would mean the same thing.
Parce que moi j'ai compris ton anglais très bien.
OK, merci. Okay.
One thing that I would mention is that I think the CEC is recognized by the Canada Council and various funding bodies as an important representative of electroacoustics in Canada. And this is very especially in recent years, important increases to funding. And through discussions that I've had with the people at the Canada Council following our grant applications and getting feedback, the CEC has a very, very strong, very respected name in its representation and support and promotion of electroacoustics in Canada at the Canada Council, and the same is true at the SOCAN Foundation, who are two principal funding bodies.
Just to try to move this along, can we make a recommendation that the CEC board examine the current makeup of CNMN, see what kind of similar parallel organizations have membership and with what kind of relationship, and make a decision that will ensure that the CEC is represented when the CNMN makes representations without diluting our effectiveness as an electroacoustic organization?
Sure.
It's interesting that Jonty is here, because as those who follow the international scene are aware, SAN changed its structure and its nature a couple of years ago and was absorbed into, can I use the word absorbed, I think, into sound and music? Subsumed into sound and music. The funding structure was entirely different to the CEC's, but the general view internationally, if one takes a long view of this, is that national organizations begin to look less and less viable as meaningful ways of grouping people together unless it's about specific national funding initiatives. And if the CNNM, the Canadian New Music Network, which by the way was a name that was developed in 1991, as Jean-Francois will recall, by the CEC, when the CEC invited the League of Composers, the ACMA, and the CMC to join together to create exactly this kind of thing, and at that time created a broadsheet newsletter called Scratch, which ran for 2 years, funded by the Canada Council. At that time, the other organizations weren't interested because the CEC saw that this was going to be the direction of things. We're now 20 years later, and I think that the board has to look into not where we need to be next year, but where we need to be in 5 and 10 years' time, and begin to work on ideas of how we are going to be as individual creative artists and collectively as creative artists, and where we fit into one, national organizations, but also into international ways. And maybe this is a good way to fill a particular void in Canada at this time, and we'll see what happens in 5 years' time, and maybe Sonic Arts Network model of what happened there and what's happened to Bourges and what's happened in government funding of individual and local and regional organizations is going to begin to inform our community as to how we need to move forward. It kind of comes back to where I started 2.5 days ago when I said that the new models of social networking have basically washed over the idea of a national association, unless the National Association is doing something that is of value, immediate value, and continuing value to its members. If one looks at what the CEC has done in the past 25 years, there's 25 years of newsletters, of contact, of e-contact, 10 years of JTTP, and the question that came up at the time of the creation of the New Music Network was, what are the tangible benefits of this? And the answer was, and if it said it's political in nature because we are going to lobby for this, then it becomes a decision as to whether to join within a political organization that is an effective lobbyist at that level, with the new Conservative government currently putting new money, if I understand correctly, into the Canada Council. then since this will be a political kind of decision, then the place to be is in the same room as the people who are taking the political decisions. And it's expedient at this time for the board to examine this, but not the only or the only path to be taken, but the one to be taken immediately. At the beginning of this, I was not in favor of the joining because things were not the same way, but now 4 or 5 years later, they are. And at that time, we tried to have an open structure for the CNMN. We wanted to know about the budget. We could get no budget information. And CIMA, right, with the reason CEC withdrew from the CIMA 18 years ago was because CIMA and Bourges wouldn't release budgetary information on what they were doing. We couldn't get a financial statement. And all the CEC asked for at the first 3 years of dealing with the organization was a financial statement. And it was unable to be provided to the CEC. And therefore, if you have an organization that's reluctant to provide you with a financial statement of where the income is and what the expenses are, then we have to deal with the questions which are there. If the CNMN will provide financial statements and will provide statements on how membership is open and the processes and transparency, then the board will look at these things and the board will bring a recommendation to the membership, I think. But that's another part of the history that actually you only gets out when you get down there.
Thank you, Kevin. Is there other comments on discussion on this?
Well, are there other items?
No, that's it.
Okay. I move to adjourn.
Seconded.
We're having fun.
We can still have fun. We can still have fun.
Off the record.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, thank you, everyone. How about a round of applause, not for this meeting, but for the CEC's 25th anniversary?
Jeff.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for being there.
Do we want to have a roundup?